Richie Neal is the congressman from Massachusetts 1st District. There's so many things to ask you about, so I'm going to go quick, and you go quick in your answers, too, okay?
You got it.
The firing of Rex Tillerson.
Bad idea.
That's fast.
Well, I mean, I think that Tillerson was a ballast in the administration. I think he had rejected a motion. He said we should remain in the Paris Climate Accords. I think that he took a more nuanced position in some of the international discussions about redoing some of these trade agreements. And I also think that inside of the administration, he relied upon career diplomats for advice.
The opioid crisis.
2 million people are sitting on the sidelines right now who could and should be working with better treatment opportunities and outcomes. In addition, in this recent omnibus bill, there is $4.5 billion more for opiate addiction treatment. And I think that everybody has a family member, they know somebody in the neighborhood, or certainly just down the street that has the addiction, and that we need more beds, more treatment centers, and clearly more people to step forward and acknowledge that this should not be an embarrassment. It should be treated as a disorder.
So what's the problem?
Well, I think part of the problem is that the emphasis has been more on incarcerating people than it has been in treating them. And I think that you're going to have a better equivalency, given the fact that even now this administration is saying that it's going to be okay to treat those who are in a jail with drugs to perhaps lessen their dependency. And in the next breath, I also think it's important to emphasize we need to continue the effort to go after the dealers. And the danger of some of these opioids, the danger of fentanyl, all of this presents a new challenge to law enforcement, but clearly pursuing the drug dealer should be part of the challenge.
Rural broadband funding. You know, every time I pick up the paper, somebody's yelling that they can't get broadband.
And in some instances, they're correct. And I think that Deval Patrick used stimulus money for middle mile undertakings at my urging some years ago when that stimulus money came down. And I think people that said that the stimulus money was an ill-considered expenditure, they didn't understand the broadband dilemma. And this week, in that omnibus bill, there's considerably more money for broadband as it applies to rural areas. I think we're down to about 7 communities in the 1st Congressional District now who are still in a challenging position. But I've been on Governor Baker, and he's been very helpful in the conversations that we've had about it. And we want to extend broadband to those communities as well. So we're making progress.
The Farm Bill, how are we going to get that out of Congress?
Well, it's going to be difficult because I think that the Agricultural Committee is now caught up again in the polarization that in Congress that is a reflection of the polarization amongst members of the American family. And the agriculture bill, as you know, it has a lot of important considerations in there, including making sure in a nation that was blessed with such plentiful growth in terms of food availability that we can get that food to people who need it. And, you know, the Farm Bill used to work on one principle that farmers enjoyed access to markets in urban areas, and in fact, then urban legislators supported subsidies for farmers. It was a pretty good trade-off, and for the most part, worked pretty well during the last 5 decades.
Talk to me about the infrastructure. You know, Trump talks infrastructure. The Democrats talk infrastructure. If the Democrats take the Congress, probably have to be both houses, but will there be a significant difference in the way we fund our infrastructure?
Yes. We would pass a major infrastructure bill if we won the House of Representatives. And I will tell you that anybody who's traveled across the world in recent years, you can see the progress that the rest of the world has made, whether it's at the airport, roadways, highways, bridges, water and sewer initiatives. And I think the president's proposal is actually too small. One of the difficulties, as the president is suggesting in turning this over to the private sector, is that oftentimes, if you use that example in Indiana, when they use toll roads or whether or not they turn the parking meters over in Chicago, it becomes pay the bondholders first. And I think that in terms of infrastructure, which again used to be one of the easiest initiatives to pass in Congress, now that is part of the logjam and the stalemate. So I would also suggest that not only would we go back to the regular order, as it's called, but I also think for nonprofits, local governments, colleges, universities, and hospitals, that we entertain the idea of a return to earmarking as well.
How about the Mueller investigation? Are your antenna picking anything up?
Well, I'm reading it with great interest every day. I think that Mueller is very secretive, and for obvious reasons, the only time that the press seems to have some insight into what he's doing is when paperwork is filed. And remember that the special prosecutor, by way of statute, really has no boundaries. And dating all the way back to Reagan, Bush 1, and Clinton, special prosecutors were able to wreak havoc on those administrations. And I think that, remember, the mission statement may well be Russia, but the prosecutor is not limited to Russia. In fact, if they come across what they think is tax avoidance, or they think that tax evasion that they might find in one's tax forms, then they are free to pursue that from every angle. They operate on the basis that the climbing the tree means that there's somebody that knows more just above that branch, and that's obvious what's happening right now. And I think that the danger here in the last 24 hours has been the suggestion that the president's attorney at least held discussions that have been confirmed by three people with the possibility of parole. I'm sorry, the possibility of a clemency or a pardon from the administration. That is not a good idea.
If he did that, would he face anything substantial from his fellow Republicans?
Well, I think that you could create now a constitutional crisis if he were, for example, to fire the special prosecutor. But given the way he has fired members of his administration, I would not be surprised if he were to proceed in that vein as well.
Me too. And what would we say constitutional crisis? But as a political scientist all my life, I can't figure out, as long as the Republicans in the House are kissing his behind, what makes you think there could be a constitutional crisis?
I think that elevates the controversy to a new standard. And I think then when you begin to discuss issues of perjury or obstruction of justice, that changes everything.
I got 2 minutes on DACA.
Well, I think that we thought we might be able to get an accommodation there. The president, as you know, has used different words leading up to the omnibus bill. And then after the omnibus bill, he seemed to reverse positions again. But I also think that these individuals have been here for a long period of time. And I think that during the Obama years, we tried to find a path forward. I think that President Obama was correct when he used to say, register, get in line, and learn English. I think that those ought to be the points that we emphasize. This is the country of these individuals. Many of them came here as children, and even though now many of them are in their 20s and 30s, the only nation that they have a memory of is America.
Let me ask you something, Richie, real quick. When you say register and get in line and learn English, I want to go back to something we discussed earlier a day or so ago about the kids and, you know, their political activism. Do you think, in fact, we're going to see some increased registration, which could make all the difference?
Well, I hope so. I mean, some of the evidence is not one of optimism, as you know, in the past. But at the same time, I think the energy that we've witnessed ought to be channeled so that there would be a very important outcome. And I think in this area, for example, of immigration reform, which we've done twice since I've been in Congress without any fanfare, now it seems to be controversial, where I think that, look, the economic argument here is persuasive. We need a steady round of immigration, largely because the only way we apparently are going to increase productivity, which is the measurement of improving quality of life for all Americans, is to increase the path of immigration reform. The average American family now is, I think, at 1.7 children. Our population is not growing the way that we need it to grow to increase productivity. There are 6.5 million jobs right now in America that go unanswered. It's obvious that we are going to have to help those employers out. And I think that, again, they tend to be hardworking people, and they tend, incidentally, to have fewer criminal violations than people that have been born and raised here. And they provide $8 billion a year in surplus to the Social Security Trust Fund because they use phony Social Security numbers, and they are never going to collect that benefit. So I think putting them on a path to citizenship, and let me be candid, I also think Obama was right when he said we need to know who's inside the country. That's where registering becomes really important. They are unlikely to register if they think they're going to be immediately deported.
And I take it, I'm running out of time here, but I take it that the idea that the census takers would be asking if the citizenship question, are you a citizen, is something that maybe repel you.
It will discourage people from stepping forward. The Constitution says and calls for an enumeration. That means everybody who lives in the country.
It's always great to have my Congressman Richie Neal from Massachusetts' beautiful 1st District on with us. Richie, I know how busy you are. I thank you so much for being with us.
Always good to be with you, Alan.